When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We're going back to our preseason rankings and see how we like them just a week into the season. We'll talk about Major League Baseball news and the ever so popular ads and drops coming at you today. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, SeatGeek.com, and Belly Up Fantasy Sports. We have plenty of baseball underneath our belts, so we have a lot to talk about tonight. I'm your host, Ben Stover, and I am joined tonight, as I am every single week. I think I got some music for him today as well. He is the one and only senior fantasy writer from Belly Up Fantasy, Kevin Wilson.
I like that.
All right, there we go. You're getting fancy here at the sports.
Man, we're stepping up.
How you doing, man?
I am doing great, and I'm excited because, as we know, coming up in less than, 12 hours, we'll have the eclipse coming right over the top of us, and we have our glasses, so reminder, safety first. Right. And so I'm looking forward to that, and of course, it's been a great weekend here, so in this baseball, so what more do we need?
Well, we need some healing powers for some. We'll get into that.
Okay.
We'll get into that today as well. But yes, baseball in full bloom right now. Plenty of things going on in the baseball world. I have already turned over about half of my roster and most of the leagues I'm in, Kevin. I have been so disappointed. We'll talk about this in our ads and drops segment. I've decided to take a Kevin approach and be like, you know what? You're not producing. You're out of here. So we'll talk about that when we get to our ads and drops.
I look forward to that.
I dropped guys already that I would not have dropped in years past. So we're working towards it. Well, let's get into our first segment of the day. We call it our fantasy burner. The fantasy burner segment is presented by SeatGeek.com. Now's the time to get your baseball tickets. I've checked them out for Milwaukee at Cincinnati. I've been checking some prices out on that as well. SeatGeek's got all the tickets that you need. And if you use the code BellyUpSports at checkout, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase there on SeatGeek.com as well. So make sure you check out SeatGeek.com and get your tickets to your next event, whether it's baseball, concerts, or whatever else you got going on. SeatGeek.com has the tickets for you. All right, in our fantasy burner tonight, we are looking back at our preseason rankings. We're only a week and a half in. So I just kind of wanted to look back at it and see how comfortable we were with our rankings. If there's anyone that is a glaring mistake already, and I think to some degree you still have to wait more time, but there are guys that you look at and go, man, I was off on that one, either I had them too high or too low, whatever it may be. So we're going to run through these today and take a look at where we were here in the preseason. We're going to start with starting pitchers. And I'll tell you what, there have been some pitchers that have been really, really good. Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Tyreek Skubal, Tyler Glasnow, Freddie Peralta, all 40-plus points on the season. You got a couple of guys that are in the 30s as well. You know, we both had Strider and Cole up there at the top, both of them injured. We'll talk more about the injury for Strider in a moment. But obviously, we don't miss on rankings if someone gets hurt. So we won't spend a lot of time on those guys. But I know I had Burns third in my rankings, and then Gallen and Wheeler right up there as well. Pablo Lopez and Luis Castillo, all in that same category. Castillo, the only one who hasn't produced yet. Are you surprised by any of those top scorers at this point?
I'm not going to say that I'm surprised, but I am pleasantly happy because there was some talk, I heard it, about Zach Gallen, and he pitched 1,000 innings or whatever it was last year, and he wasn't going to be what he was a year ago. And I was like, this dude's not 35 years old. He is, you know, just like you, I had him at the top of my pitching rankings. And so far, it is looking great. How much better can this be? He's 2-0 with an 0.82 ERA. He has two straight games where he has a 1.0 whip, 9 Ks, 5 walks is a little concerning. But everything else checks out for Zach Gallen. And I was telling people, don't pay attention to the naysayers. He is going to be as good as he was or better as a year ago. And I am completely comfortable with my rankings with him thus far.
Yeah, I like that top group still. My tier four guys included Glasnow, Skubal, and Peralta. All those are looking like top of the end fantasy pitchers so far this year. I was really down on Skubal because everybody was so high on him. I thought, man, he plays for the Tigers. I mean, everybody just needs to calm down a little bit. Well, the Tigers have been good and to start off the season, and Skubal's been phenomenal. Glasnow, again, the whole issue with Glasnow is how many innings will he pitch? So that we expected him to be good when he's on the field. The question is just when he's not going to be on the field. And pleasantly surprised with Freddie Peralta's performances so far for Milwaukee. He has looked really good, which is a positive thing for a Brewers fan. Because I was worried about Freddie Peralta.
Yep, and as I remember during the draft, Chase and you were discussing him, and you were both concerned about him. And I thought he was going in a place that would give him some value. He wasn't going as a top two-round guy. So I think that if you did take him, you have to be pretty happy with what's happening with him right here. But one of the guys that I was talking about that I felt was going to be a very nice value, and, you know, I'm a Dodger guy, and I don't like to talk about Padres, but I talked about Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
And so here's what he's got going on. A 2.30 ERA, 1.09 whip, 13 strikeouts, and 2 walks on the season. And so he is a guy that could have taken probably 8 rounds earlier than what he was being taken, because he was a late round guy, and I liked him. I liked him better than some of their other pitchers that they were ranked higher than him. So I think that if you banked on Yu Darvish, you're in great shape right about now.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. A guy that I was big on coming into the year was Cole Reagans. He's 0-1, but he's got 1.46 ERA, 16 strikeouts, 9 in his first game against Minnesota, 7 against Baltimore, 2 quality starts in both of those games as well. Really excited about what Cole Reagans is doing on my fantasy rosters. Although he's not on my roster in our league. Yes, he is. Just kidding. But I've got him in multiple leagues, but not every league that I'm in.
And, you know, you got him before I did, and I was I was jazzed up about him as you, but you got him before me. If he was on my fantasy team, I would be absolutely happy with that. And so another pitcher, Baltimore guy, that I was talking up during the spring was Grayson Rodriguez.
Yes.
Okay. 12 1/3 innings pitch, 2-0, 2.19 ERA, 1.05 whip, 16 strikeouts, 3 bases on balls. And he's a guy that you could have gotten later in the draft, as we talked about, not as late as Yu Darvish, but, you know, later than a lot of these other guys that you could have taken. But he is paying off big so far. for Baltimore and for all the guys, all the managers that drafted him.
For sure. All right. I'm going to move on to catchers unless you got another pitcher you want to talk about.
I do not have.
All right. So on to catchers. Top two catchers, we agree, Rutschman. I believe we
know who I'm going to talk about right now, so you go ahead.
All right. Rutschman and Will Smith, both top-tier catchers right now. Yainer Diaz from Houston and Salvador Perez from Kansas City right there as well. I will say that I was very low on Salvador Perez. No catcher has lit it up, I wouldn't say. You take away the extra two games for Will Smith. He's still up there towards the top, of course, but you got to remember those Dodgers guys have a couple extra games, Dodgers and Padres do. That being said, you know what? Catchers are what they are. And I wanted Yainer Diaz. I did not get him in any league I'm in. They always got taken the same round I was going to draft him. Somebody in front of me took him. And so I did not end up with any of Yainer Diaz, but boy, he's been really good to start out this year.
He sure has. Because if you look at this, he's hitting 400.
Yeah.
The Astros have proved to be a big disappointment, and hopefully nobody was watching our super special for baseball when I made my prediction regarding that. But regardless of that, 400 for him. And if you remember in my catching tiers, I had Salvador Perez way higher than just about anybody else that I know. And after starting the season 0-7, he's hitting 387 with two homers, nine RBIs. He has 4-2 or more hit games on the season. He's been in the lineup every day, which is what I thought would be his value, and he is cashing in on that. If he's not behind the plate, he's at first or he's at DH. So if you followed my advice and waited and took him, your catching spot is covered for the whole rest of the year.
Yeah, if you invested in the Sean Murphy, of course, that hurts. He got injured and is out. But there's none of the other catchers are really doing much. Gabriel Moreno's been good. Everybody
else, not great. Good.
Yes. Yeah. One guy, though, I do want to mention, and we brought up in the value picks, was Logan Ohapi for the Angels. He's batting 450, one home run, six RBIs, four runs. Had double-digit points against Boston yesterday. And he got picked up in free agency in our league. Nathan Nguyen picked him up Saturday. He picked him up Saturday and added him to the roster. Good pickup there. He's been really solid. 24 fantasy points puts him right up there in that top group for this year.
You know, if we're going to talk about catchers, another guy we can mention is, where'd he go? Francisco Alvarez.
Alvarez, yeah.
Okay, the Mets, not so much, but he's hitting 333. He has two-hit games and one three-hit game.
Yeah.
So he's doing it. I don't know what's going on, what they're pumping into the Mets dugout that isn't agreeing with them, but apparently it's not out. You know, Alvarez is not being affected by it. So, and I have him, so I'm happy. You mentioned Marino. He is not doing – he's good.
Yeah.
But not great. So, and I went against my advice most of the time. I have those two guys on my roster. So my catching spot is good.
Very good. Yeah, I went with Luis Capusano from San Diego. Picked him up after the draft. He's been really solid. He's batting 364 on the year so far, and he's playing almost every day as well. Let's move over to first baseman. No surprise, Freddie Freeman is raking 37 fantasy points coming into the weekend. Bryce Harper, slow start, then all of a sudden, three home runs. Matt Olson has been, you know, good. Again, not spectacular. Really, it's been Spencer Steer and Freddie Freeman up at the top. Everybody else, again, they haven't been bad. Vlad Guerrero's yet to get going. Benny Quantino's yet to get going. You know, a couple guys that we talked about in the value picks and things like that, Strand from Cincinnati, not got going. So there's some guys that definitely haven't got it rolling yet, but overall I've been really pleased by the way Christian Walker, we talked about him when we did our rankings. He's right there at the second grouping of points, and he's been really solid again this year as well. So No, to me, there's not a whole lot of surprises at first base.
No, there's not. And if we talked up Spencer Steer big time, me more because of his availability.
Yeah.
But, okay, Spencer Steer, 423, two homers, five RBIs, even has a stolen base. Mm-hmm. It had a six-game hitting streak this past week. So if you took him a little bit later in your draft, first, third, and the outfield are both covered by him. So all couldn't be more happy with Spencer Steer. Only thing I can't be happy because he's not on my team. So, but other than that, he's been great. It's been great. You mentioned Christian Walker. I'd like to see him get a little bit more going than he is, but we know he is, and he needs to stop striking out so much. But other than that, first base, you're pretty set.
Yeah, third highest scoring first baseman so far this year, Connor Joe from Pittsburgh. I've added him to a couple of teams as well. Yeah. Newton added him to a team also, but he's been phenomenal as well. Like I said, he's third right now in first base scoring. There's a couple guys we didn't talk about in our rankings.
We sure didn't talk about him.
Yeah, Jake Cronenworth is playing really well to start out the year. Justin Turner is first base eligible this year. He's been decent to get things going. And then Ryan Mountcastle as well in Baltimore having a good start to the year also. Let's move to second baseman because, Kevin, we did not predict the how valuable second baseman were going to be this year. The top five guys are really scoring well. So Mookie Betts, of course, he's the best in all of fantasy baseball right now. Marcus Semien is in the 30s. Ozzie Albies in the 30s. Jose Altuve scoring in the 30s. Ketel Marte scoring in the 30s. And the other guys that we talked about are all in the mid-teens or 20s. So second base has been really strong this year. It seems like you can't go wrong at second base.
Well, the only place that I went wrong, and it turns out I'm really, 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 really wrong, and that's because I was talking about Gavin Lux, okay?
Yeah.
And not just because he's on the Dodgers, but I thought, okay, they moved him to second. He'll be comfortable over there. Well, 172, no homers, one RBIs. He's not hitting against left-handers. And Miguel Rojas, right? Mm-hmm. He's not known to be a hard-hitting guy, all right? But he's hitting 333 right now. So Gavin Lux isn't making it, even though I like the second base outfield. But there's no reason to have him, even though he's a Dodger, on your roster. So I was way off on him.
Yeah, another guy that we were not high on. We didn't talk about him, I don't think, at all at second base. I think we talked about him at third base a little bit. Ryan McMahon from Colorado, he's been really solid to start off as well. There's other guys we'll talk about even in our ads and drops today. We'll get to there. But I've just been really impressed with the second baseman. Zach Gelof, who we talked about in Oakland, has not been the Oakland Athletic to have on your team. We'll talk about that in ads and drops. He's at negative 2 points going into the weekend. So there is that. Let's go to third base. Third base, Jose Ramirez at the top. We both had him ranked there. He's up the course.
Spencer number six Steer in our draft, and he should have been. So,
yeah, Spencer Steer, of course, is the highest scoring third baseman. And guys like Manny Machado, Gunnar Henderson, even Ha-Seong Kim has snuck up there towards the top as well.
That makes me feel a whole lot better because I was all in
on
Ha-Seong Kim.
My value picks for third base was Manny Machado. His ADP was 59. He has 25 fantasy points. Spencer Steer's ADP was 144. He has
what a value.
Six what fantasy value. Points. And even Jake Berger, we talked about, he ended up getting traded. But he has 29 fantasy points as well. So, I mean, it's, again, I think third base and second base seem to be pretty strong right now. I'm sorry, Berger did not get traded. But
he got traded last year.
Yeah. Okay. So that they're doing well. You really hyped up Eugenio Suarez, and he's doing pretty well.
And I was right on time with him when I talked about him. I'm still on time. I talked about him last week. And so Eugenio Suarez, all in, he's doing it. in that Arizona lineup. So, you know, what? Applause for me?
Sure. The guy that I was big on that we didn't talk about in the rankings, as soon as we drafted, I started talking about this guy because I didn't want to give him away. I didn't want someone else to go out and get him. Mikel Garcia from Kansas City. He has been, now he has struck out a fair amount. He struck out 10 times already on the season, but he's batting .235, three home runs, eight RBIs, a stolen base, and four runs. He's leading off for Kansas City. He's still only owned in 25% of leagues. I drafted him at pick number 253, and I am very happy that I did so. I did not hit on every draft pick that I picked, but I'm thankful I got Mikel Garcia on the team.
And I was in another league that I'm in. I got him off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
So that was a good pickup. So Garcia, yeah, and Kansas City players as a whole, I think, are doing well in fantasy.
Agreed. Let's jump over to shortstop. It's been a little bit hit or miss at shortstop. Boom or bust, maybe the better word for it. Corey Seager's been good. Bobby Witt's been good. Gunnar Henderson's been good. And Xander Bogaerts has been good. Yeah. The other guys at the top, Lindor, Trey Turner, Bo Bichette, Nico Horner, they just have not really produced to this point. But guys lower down the line, like Willy Adames and Ha-Seong Kim again, in the 20s in points. So you had more value picks with shortstops versus the upper end guys, in my opinion.
You know, it'll make you happy that I was wrong about Willy Adames so far. And, you know, he's had 3 two-hit games.
Yeah.
So people are putting together some solid games here so far. And, so I was wrong about him. And a guy that I saw that had some value that I was way wrong about, and that's J.P. Crawford of the Seattle Mariners. I believe he's betting 133.
Yeah.
Okay? You and I can get off our couches and go hit 133.
Well,
that's an exaggeration just a tad, but 133, and he's hitting 235 is his on-base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not too many major leaguers are going to be in the major leagues if a 235 on base percentage. So that was, I was way off. I thought he would be, you know, in that Seattle lineup and causing some disruptions for, you know, pitchers, but way, way off on him.
Yeah. And there, but here's the deal. There's so many value picks at shortstop, and they may even be available in your leagues. You've got a couple of these guys. C.J. Abrams has been playing really well. Anthony Volpe from New York playing really well. Jeremy Pena from Houston's been good. Dansby Swanson's been good. Orlando Arcia has been above average to average. And how about Carlos Correa, a guy we talked about briefly, didn't know what he was going to look like injury-wise and things like that. He's been fairly solid so far to get things started here in this new season.
Yeah, the only thing about Abrams, I like him. We both liked him, but he's got an injury that we have to figure out what exactly the extent of that is. But if he's cleared of that, you're looking good if you have. And I have him in two leagues.
Yeah.
So I was all in on Abrams, and all he has to do is be healthy.
That's all we ask.
That's all we ask. That's all.
Let's jump over to outfielders. Again, of course, Acuna, slow start, but I'm not worried about him. Mookie Betts is just crushing it. We talked about this guy last week or the week before. Lourdes Gurriel has been phenomenal here to get things rolling. And then guys that we'll talk about in ads and drops, but Tyler O'Neill in Boston, making the move to Boston from St. Louis. He's been great getting things going here. Kyle Tucker's been good. Soto has had really good days. Has not been great yet, but again, not worried about him. Jordan Alvarez has been good. Cody Bellinger's been good. Stephen Kwan and Adolis Garcia have been scoring points. I want to go and talk about a guy named Julio Rodriguez. Kevin, what's the deal with Julio Rodriguez?
I don't know. I'm sure I am glad that someone else stepped up and got him, because I was saying in most leagues he should be gone in the first round, and so. There's a lot of Seattle players that have disappointed greatly here, but he's the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
And so The only thing you can do with Julio Rodriguez is ride it out.
Right.
That's right. All you can do, it's not like you're going to try and trade him. There's going to be no, you're not getting back to value right now, I wouldn't think, because someone's going to try and lowball you, and they should. And so I'm just glad he's not on my team in any league that I'm in.
Let me give you a couple of names that are scoring better than Julio Rodriguez right now. And I'd like to know if you've ever
heard of him before. Can't wait to hear this.
Bubba Thompson, outfielder, Cincinnati. He's owned in 0.1 leagues.
Oh, no.
He has doubled up Julio Rodriguez so far. Darren Blanco from Kansas City, outfielder. He is owned in 0.1% of leagues, but has outscored currently Julio Rodriguez. There are many, many more. Jake McCarthy, who I think has played in one game, has outscored. No, that's wrong. He's played in several games. Okay, never mind. But nonetheless, there's a lot of guys that have scored more. Outfielder, Arizona. Guys that I've never heard of. Nonetheless, it'll come around for Julio Rodriguez. We know it will. He's a guy I think you can be patient with for sure.
You got to be patient with him. There's no other answer with him.
Yeah, because you don't want to go out and pick up Jake Cave, outfielder, first baseman in Colorado, who has owned in 0.1% of leagues, even though he's scoring better than Julio Rodriguez right now. So there you go. I think that's enough bashing on Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, we definitely brought the bash bucket on him. And one of the players, and this guy, we just can't disassociate ourselves from this guy.
Oh,
and that is MJ Melendez.
Yes.
Okay. Because right now, 333 homers, one homer, four RBIs, three runs scored. He has 20 fantasy points. Okay. And he's at 10.4% rostered. So you, well, at least I, was like, no, I'm not playing footsie with this dude anymore, especially after he lost the catcher eligibility.
Right.
But he's top 10 in fantasy outfield. So, way wrong on MJ Melendez. I saw him, it was the Royals, unbelievably enough, was that Thursday. There weren't a whole lot of games on. But the Royals were playing. I saw him. He looked great. So, MJ Melendez, we're not done playing footsie just yet. So, and I was way wrong with him.
I've got him in my Yahoo league. I don't think I have him in any of my ESPN leagues at this point.
Right. Looking at our league, he's available. So,
yeah. Outfield, like I said, there's a fair amount of outfielders scoring right now. MJ Melendez looks like he's relevant again, which is nice for anyone who put any effort into him. Of course, throughout.
We both did.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we did.
Multiple leagues.
All right. That's enough of our rankings. We'll continue to look at those throughout the season. We'll come back to that one or two more times throughout the season just to check in on those things. That's our Fantasy Burner presented by SeatGeek.com. Use the code BellyUpSports. Get 20% off your purchase. It's now time for segment two, the call to the pin. The call to the pen is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Again, that's righteousfelon.com. The code is STOVE15. Let's start off with the standings and where things sit. Okay. My Brewers are at a one loss after another win on Saturday. We are recording this Saturday night as opposed to Sunday when we typically do it. So if there's any major news on Sunday or late Saturday night, we will have missed it. But as it currently sits, as of this recording, Milwaukee Brewers have the best record in Major League Baseball at 5-1, which is not that way earlier in the day. But nonetheless, there's some teams that are doing well. Let's talk about the Rangers. The Rangers look really, really good again to start off this season.
They do. And so that was one of the, because, you know, we had a no hitter earlier this week. And raise your hand high if you ever heard of Ronald I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. Ronel Blanco.
I had not heard of him
before Monday. And it's just kind of interesting because I read, well, open the gates on people picking up Ronel Blanco.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of like closing the barn door after the horses have already left. Because he faces the Rangers. Of course, you just mentioned this is recording on Saturday. He faces the Rangers on Sunday. And as far as I understand, he'll face the Rangers again.
Oh, wow.
That's not a winning combination. I know your dad went and picked him up. I would have not have done that. But apart from that, okay, but the Rangers, they're averaging like 6 runs a game.
Yeah.
And they blew the absolute doors off of Houston on Friday night. And so you got to like everything. And we're going to talk about our pickups a little bit later, but there are a couple of Texas pitchers that you need to be interested in. But so they're getting the pitching, they're getting the hitting, and so they're in first place above the Anaheim Angels. Now, who had that, right? Because we had the Angels as possibly maybe the worst team,
right?
But they've won 4 games since then.
Yeah,
and so and Houston. Off to a 2-6 start, and the thing that really's got to concern you is 7 of those games were at home.
And so, I didn't look up the number, good. But they had the lead in several of those games as well.
That's right. And so that's right. And so that's where the relief pitching, when we talked about last week, we thought was going to be the strength of their team. Not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Another slow start for Houston. Now they started slow last year.
They did.
But, man, you don't want to be behind this much to get things rolling for sure. That's a surprise there. But the Angels probably the biggest surprise in that division for sure at 4-3. In the Central, speaking of surprises, the Guardians and the Tigers fighting it out up there at the top. We'll talk more about the Guardians in just a moment with an injury. But 4-game win streak, 7-2 to start the year. Impressive for sure, but not as impressive to me as the Tigers. I cannot believe the Tigers are 6-2 coming into Sunday.
I didn't have them going 6-2, but I did suggest that they are a possible division winner.
You did.
So I did. And so, you know, applause again for me, I guess. But you've got to like what they're doing. They got young players. They got some young pitching. And so excellent right there. I like what's going on with them. And so Detroit is going to be, you know, what else in Detroit do you have to cheer about? Well, the Lions, you know, they got it going on up there. But the Tigers and Lions are bringing sports back to Detroit, so you got to like that. And you mentioned your Milwaukee Brewers, but I think that we need to talk about the Central Division of the NL because every team has a winning record as of this moment in the NL Central. And we, at least I did, thought that Central might be the worst division maybe in history. So that's a surprise to me in a big way.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. In that NL Central, the Cardinals, they're 5-4, but man, it's been an ugly 5-4.
It has been.
Cincinnati and Chicago are 5-3. Milwaukee's 5-1. The Pirates, 7-2. The Pirates had to be the most impressive team. And we thought they'd be better than last year, but really impressive to get things started this year.
I am as well, and opposed to the Astros, the Pirates started this while they were on the road.
Right, 6-1 on the road.
That's right. So you got to like, you know, maybe you got to hit the caution just a little bit because they did that against Miami, and as of this time, they're the only team that does not have a win. And we all knew that Miami wasn't going to be great, but I thought that they could be at least competent, and so this is most of those games for them started at home. That's really concerning about them. So I'm writing off Miami. It's easy to do when you're 0-8 or 0-9. So they're the most disappointing team. Not just, you know, we knew they couldn't hit very well, but their pitching has been awful as well. So
yeah, and pitching is everything because again, you go back to Detroit. They're not scoring a lot of runs, but they're also not giving up a lot of runs.
That's right.
The Miami, they have the largest run differential. They've allowed 62 runs and only scored 30. You can't win games like that. And 0-7 at home, which 0-2 on the road. They look like the worst team in Major League Baseball right now.
And they just lost Eury Pérez.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into the injuries in a minute. But Miami, the white flag is flying high right now.
And I'll say this, that in that division, the NL East, you know, it seems like we do this every year with the NL East. They're underperforming. The Braves are 4-2, but it has not been a pretty 4-2 either. I mean, I've not been impressed with what I've seen from Atlanta. After this point, I assume that they will continue to get better, but Arizona had their way with Atlanta on Saturday.
They did, and we'll talk about some injury news, and there's some injury news with them that's going to affect their team greatly one way or the other. It's going to affect my fantasy team one way or the other.
Well, let's talk about it. Strider goes down, UCL.
Yes.
Apparently going to be the popular injury this year for pitchers. UCL injury. That's right. They've not given us an exact time frame at this point, but it does not look good.
No, and they're already using the dreaded TJ that could be a possibility. And the doctor that does that is here in Dallas, and he's coming here to see him. And so that does not look good to me. And of course, he was my first round number 5 overall draft pick. So that sends the team a little underwater right there. But if he's lost for the Braves, they can weather that, maybe, because they got enough team in other places. But it's certainly not going to be easy now for them.
Yeah, I mean, Max Fried got lit up today. So, I mean, I don't know. That would worry me a lot if I'm Atlanta. They're not the only ones, though. Shane Bieber out for the year in Cleveland.
That's right.
Eury Pérez out for the year in Miami. So the pitchers are going down early here. But there are other pitchers coming back soon. Verlander right now expected back middle of April. April 17th is the date that I saw. I'm sure that's a little movable, but he's coming back soon. Walker Buehler's anticipated to come back around April 20th. So there are some pitchers fantasy-wise that are going to be coming back into play that could help teams that had Strider or Bieber or Pérez. Although I was out on Pérez from the get-go.
I was too. I like him. I like him a lot. But not anymore, obviously. And in one of the leagues that I'm in, if you've got IL spots open, then, which I did, and Justin Verlander was on the wire, unbelievably enough, I went and got him and stashed him on my IL. That's the kind of thing, especially with Walker Buehler as well.
Yeah.
If he's out there and you got an IL spot, figure out who you're going to drop, go get him and put him in your IL spot until he's ready to pitch. Exactly. That's how you win leagues right there.
Agreed. Other guys, Josh Jung from Texas, third baseman. He's going to be out at the end of May.
And I need to mention this, okay? Because on Monday in the other league that I'm in, I went and got him. He goes out and hits a 3-run homer, right? First inning. And I'm over there going, yay, he's on my team. This is looking great. Then he gets hit by a pitch. Now he's out for who knows how long. Broken wrist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just the way fantasy works. You know, you make a trade or whatever it is, and you get a guy, and you're excited, and all of a sudden he's hit by a pitch, and now not so much.
All right, it's time now for our newest segment, Kevin.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Tracker.
Okay.
Thankfully for Chicago Cubs players, the council curse did not affect injuries on the field this week. But it revived the career of one pitcher, Yamamoto. I said that all wrong, but doesn't matter. Yamamoto came out against Chicago this weekend and looked the part. So I'm going to play that up to the council curse, getting guys' seasons back on track this year. Thoughts on that, Kevin?
Okay, so I saw that, and you know, you and I were both very concerned about Mr. Yamamoto after that first start, but he's pitched 10 innings since and hasn't given up a run.
Right.
So that's looking good. And before today, the Cubs had won five straight. So I was kind of like, what's going on with the curse? But they went down today. But the curse is working overtime on two guys. I got two guys for you.
Okay.
One's Bellinger. Because he's hit 185. He's in a 1-for-11 slump, last I checked. Nico Horner, he's hit 136. No homers, no RBIs. Also in a 1-for-11 slump. So I'm going to chalk that up to the curse right there. Both of those guys are, you know, not rookies and people that you're saying are, you know, not affected. These guys are veterans. They came to the Cubs. They knew what was up with going on, and they are being affected by the curse right now.
All right. So just to give us some comparison, right? Craig Counsell left Milwaukee, comes to Chicago. He's got Bellinger batting. What'd you say Bellinger's batting?
Bellinger's 185 with a homer and six RBIs.
All right. So in comparison, the team that Counsell left, a similar player in Christian Yelich, he's batting 348, three home runs. So I'd say that's pretty good. Nico Horner's playing second base in Chicago. Right now, the Brewers are splitting time with guys, but Bryce Terang, the second baseman, he's batting 368, six stolen bases on the year. It seems like Milwaukee's doing just fine without that traitor, and we're looking fine right now and pleased with how the baseball gods have looked down upon Milwaukee and how they're looking down upon Chicago in different ways. I am very pleased by it all, needless to say.
Yeah. Not so pleased because in one league, you know, in our league, I've got Bellinger.
Yeah.
He's a guy that we could have talked about. Who was I wrong about? And in the other one of the other leagues I'm in, I've got Horner. So the curse is working overtime on the Kevin Wilson fantasy team. So just I should listen to you right from the jump.
Tried to help you. All right. That's our call to the pin today, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. RighteousFelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. It's time for segment number three. We call it our fantasy focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by Belly Up Fantasy Sports. You go to BellyUpFantasySports.com. You're going to get articles on fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, hockey, and so on and so forth. Check out all the content coming out right now from BellyUpFantasySports.com. And, of course, you get all of Kevin Wilson's articles right there as well. A couple teams to get you ready for this week. If you're looking to add players who are having on teams that are having easier opponents this week, I would tell you the Texas Rangers and the Washington Nationals might be two teams you look at. They both will play Oakland this week. And then Kansas City later in the week, not the beginning of the week, but later in the week, they go up against the Mets. And the beginning of next week, they go up against the White Sox. So now's a good time to start looking into Kansas City Royals players for your additions as well. All right, let's get into some ads this week. I love these guys because I was making ads left and right this week. Now, my Yahoo League, I want to say I just continue to hate Yahoo. Six moves in this first week, and this first week is going all the way back to the beginning of the season. So it's a long, drawn-out matchup, and I used my first six – I used six picks like in the first 2 days of the league, just getting rid of guys and putting guys on IL and that kind of stuff. And I've been stuck, handcuffed, watching players get picked off the waiver wire because I could not pick them up. So I cannot wait for this matchup to turn the page and help me get into some ads over in the Yahoo League. That being said, oh, Kevin, I got to tell you this too.
Okay.
The league manager.
Okay. Set up
the Yahoo League as a categories league. So I draft and we get to Saturday or Sunday and I get an email that league settings have been changed. And I go and look, and the league settings have been changed from a category league to a points league. And it's like, well, I drafted for a categories league. At the end of the day, I like points leagues better, so I can live with it. But I was just like, I think that's probably something that should have been done before the draft. But, hey, whatever. We move on with life. And just another thing and that I hate about you, I don't think you can change your leagues, how your league is scored in an ESPN league once the league starts. But I
don't know. Seeing as how you and I are co-commissioners, we would seem to know the answer to that would be absolutely no. Because I went on there to try and see if we could change it and not include those games from Korea, just to see.
Oh, yeah.
It couldn't be done.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, no, you're not, you shouldn't change anything in your league settings after the first games get going. Right. Nothing should be changed.
If the league unanimously votes on it, then that's one thing. But it just happened.
Yeah.
Wait, what just happened? And so... and he had to contact Yahoo to get that change. He couldn't do it on his own. Anyways, I thought that was interesting. I like the league owner, the league manager, and everything. He's a good guy. I thought that was an interesting happening this week. All right, let's get into our ads this week. Who do you got? Your first guy that you say we got to go out and get.
Okay, so the first guy, I'm going to go local with the Texas Rangers. And that is first baseman Jared Walsh. Okay. And it was thought that him and Ezekiel Duran would split time at first.
Right.
But with the injury to Jung, Ezekiel Duran has moved over to third. And Walsh is playing every day. And this is what he's up to 346 and 6-game hitting streak. He's at 2.4%. rostered, so he's available. And we all know we're waiting for Nathaniel Lowe to come back. We don't know for sure when that is, but for this period, if you're needing a first baseman, Jared Walsh is a guy I would go out and get. He's playing every day, and so I like this a lot, and I like his at bats. I've seen it because I've lived in here, of course. I can see him every day. I like what he's doing at the plate.
Yeah, I like that pickup. He's a guy that I've been watching on the Yahoo League that I can't pick anybody up right now because I've already used my 6 additions. So, yeah, and he got snatched before I was able to pick him up. So I like that pickup for sure. Another guy that I like is from St. Louis, second baseman outfielder Brendan Donovan.
Only I knew you were going there. So I knew you were going there.
Only owned in 10.4% of leagues. He's batting .308, 6 RBIs, 6 runs, a home run, 23 fantasy points, and that came against the Dodgers and the Padres. So he's not playing the A's and the Nationals and the White Sox. He's putting up against solid opponents, and he gives you the versatility at second base and outfield. I don't understand why he's only owning 10% of leagues right now.
Yep, I don't know either. Because I saw you picked him up. I knew that's where you were going. I wrote him down just to be sure in case you didn't go there. So you and I are all in on that, especially because he's got second base, outfield,
yeah,
and that's a nice combination to have. And he's hitting, so that's a great thing. The player I'm going to – you talk about your surprise that someone is at 10% roster, and I'm surprised because I got Charlie Blackmon. Mm. He's at 11.5% rostered. He's on Colorado, of course. Who is back at home? Okay. He's got 3 games up coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at home. 357, right? 5 RBIs, 2 straight, 3 hit games. And he's playing in Colorado. This is a guy, you know, we talk about we're not in on Colorado. They're as a team, they're awful. But at home, there are players that you want to pick up when they're at home, leave them in the waiver wasteland when they go back out on the road. But right now, Blackmon is a guy that you should want on your team, so go and get him.
I'm not going to lie. I'm avoiding Rocky still, even though McMahon has been really good, even though Blackman's been good. Man, I'm just so scared of Rocky right now. But you're right. The stats prove and show that he's worth being on a roster for sure. I'm going to go up to Boston. I mentioned him when we got the outfielders, Tyler O'Neill, 24.8% rostered. Okay. Batting over .400 right now, .409, 4 home runs, all of those solo home runs, 1 stolen base. Now, he was playing Oakland and Los Angeles of Anaheim Angels, who, by the way, are going back to California Angels next year, I believe.
I don't know, because since I have known them, I used to walk from when I was in freshman in high school. I could see their stadium while I was walking home from high school. Then we were known as the California Angels. Then it was the Anaheim Angels. And then they were like, well, we want to switch back, you know, to Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which is one of the most ignorant names in the history of pro sports. But
California next year, California Angels. But Tyler needs to be on a roster. He's playing really good baseball. He had moments in St. Louis where he was very fantasy relevant. He looks like he's going to be that way again in Boston. A change of scenery has been very, very nice to him. I think he needs to be on rosters everywhere versus just 24% of rosters right now.
I agree with that 100%. I've already talked about Eugenio Suarez, telling him pretty much, you know, hoarse about it. So I won't get into that anymore. But one player, and, you know, I don't like to praise Giants. We all know this. But Jordan Hicks, he's on San Francisco, 27% rostered. 12 innings pitched, 0.75 ERA, 0.75 WHIP. I don't think I've ever seen a player have the same ERA and WHIP all at the same time. But 11 Ks, one base on balls, and best of all, Wednesday he faces the Washington Nationals. So therefore, Jordan Hicks needs to be at probably 72% rostered coming into this week. So if you need pitching, and who doesn't, Jordan Hicks is my guy, even though he's a Giant, to go out and get.
I like it. I'm going to go with another batter, Baltimore Orioles first baseman DH, Ryan Mountcastle. Okay. Only 20.9% of leagues. He's hitting .280, a home run, 7 RBIs. when we get to our drops, I'll talk about who I'm replacing with Ryan Mountcastle. But again, it's Baltimore. Baltimore's a good baseball team. They got a really good lineup. And Ryan Mountcastle's been really solid again. And he's been solid in the past, and he's back to positive ways for Baltimore this season.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I was like, well, he's almost 30% rostered, so I won't get into that just yet. But if he's available in your league, I'm all into that. And I mentioned some Rangers pitchers earlier, and Cody Bradford. Okay. 12.2 innings pitched, 2-0, 2.13 ERA, 0.47 WHIP, 10 Ks, 1 base on balls. And this is the kicker. He faces the Oakland A's this week. Okay. And so, and another guy I'm going to just, is Michael Lorenzen, who's down in the minor leagues. They're saying he might come up to the Rangers this week. He might face Oakland this week as well. So, he's at 2.3% rostered, so he's a guy you want to keep your – if he makes it to the major league roster, he's a guy you want to keep your eyes on.
Yeah, I feel like when we get to ads and drops and we start talking pitchers, we're typically talking streamers, guys that you're going to pick up for a start.
That's right. That's right.
Clarify that so if people are listening going, right. I picked up this guy 2 weeks ago, and he's been really bad. Well, yeah, well, we're talking about current matchups. Right. I've got Tyler Wells from Baltimore as a name to keep an eye on. This week's matchups, but Wade Miley's getting ready to come back as well. He's been down in the minors doing his rehab. And so like Lorenzen, he'll be up soon pitching. Those are guys to keep an eye on, and especially based off of who they're playing. Well, then it's worth
some of those. And yeah, let me just throw in, because I put out an article earlier this week about this weekend's, which doesn't help you now, but weekend streamers. And people were like, well, what are their stats? It's not about their stats. It's about who they're going up against.
Right. Exactly.
Which they all had superior matchups. Sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, this is baseball and sports don't work out. But it's all about the matchups. People get so into statistics, especially in baseball, you get yourself frozen that you can't make a move.
That's why I love on ESPN, you can pull up the last 7 days, because once you get deep into the year, you see this guy who scored a whole bunch of fantasy points. You're thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to go get him. But then if you look at his last 7 days and see, well, he's got -5 in the last week or -10 in the last 2 weeks. It's, you know, you got to look at matchups and what they're doing currently. It's really... You can get some about what they've done previously, but really you got to look at what they're doing now and how they help you now.
That's right. So, you know, I just wanted to mention that is I'm with you, because these guys are streamers, because you're not looking to drop your hardcore pitching staff guys.
Right.
But the guys at the bottom are droppable and should be droppable unless they go out and they pitch a no-hitter, I suppose, or something like that. But, we've got a 27-man roster here. Yes. And we're in a 10-man league, or 10-team league, I guess you could say. So, therefore, and that's one of the reasons why I like to be in a 10-team league, because I like to make moves. Yeah. If you're in a 20-team league, you don't make any moves. There's no moves to be made. And so that's not fun to me.
Yeah.
And so just to put that out there, and we're getting ready to go into our drops, and I want to emphasize this letter as well, because I put out an article this week about my top fantasy drops, and people took me behind the woodshed and tried to kick me in the head, all right, because I was advocating drops before the first week of the season.
Oh.
I'm talking about in smaller leagues.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're in a 20-team league and don't have a robust waiver wire, there's nobody to drop.
Right.
In our leagues,
four guys.
In 10 or even 12-man leagues, yes. There are team players that you can drop and go and get. And
all four guys that I'm going to bring up tonight are guys that I have dropped this week.
And that's why I like what we're doing. The 10-man league, 10-team league, however you want to put it, is where I like to be, because you can make moves. It makes it so your strategy is more important, because in this other ESPN league I'm in, it's almost like it's an all-star thing.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no moves to be made. So that's not nearly as fun as what we're talking about here.
All right, let's get into the drops.
Let's get into it. Let's do this.
So I got four guys.
Okay.
Start with New York Mets second baseman outfielder Jeff McNeil.
Okay.
65.2% own. Mm-hmm. And he's only playing every other day. So not only do his stats not give you any relevance for him on your roster, he's not even playing every day. He's not even getting close to playing every day. He's literally being in the lineup every other day. Jeff McNeil needs to be dropped in every league, in my opinion.
Okay. I'm all in on you on with that one. And another guy that needs to be dropped. And we talked about Yuri Perez earlier. He's out for the season. So someone please explain to me why he's still on 45% of rosters. Stop it. Drop him now. I'll wait a second. Okay, we're back. So that's a public service announcement for you right there. But Jordan Walker, I'm going to go there, is my top drop, St. Louis outfielder, right? He's hitting 167. How many home runs does he have? Zero. How many RBIs does he have? Zero. How many runs does he have? One. And he has a .231 on-base percentage. That is absolutely awful. There are outfielders in a 10-team league that are sky better than him. So he's a young guy, and there's potential still there. But until that potential shows into ability, drop him this second.
So, Kevin, I talked about picking up Ryan Mountcastle.
Okay.
I picked him up this week and replaced a guy that I drafted in every league I'm in. And I've now dropped him in three of those four leagues. Vinny Pasquantino.
Kansas City. That's a tough drop. I'm with you. Tough. Yeah,
61.9% own. He's batting 138. He has four runs, and he has zeros across the rest of the board. No RBIs, no home runs, no stolen bases. He's got today, Saturday's game, he's playing the White Sox. He went 0-4, -1 points. He played the White Sox on Friday, went 1-4 with a run. He played the White Sox on Thursday, went 0-4. Like, it's one thing if you just have a bad series against Baltimore, but when you get the White Sox, you're supposed to do something. And do something. I have given up on Vinny Pasquantino for the moment, for the time being. I'll keep my eye on him. But
of course,
he cannot hold down a roster spot when there's first basemen that are doing their jobs.
That's right. He's a guy we could have talked about at the top.
Yeah.
Who is not in any way, shape, or form doing what he's supposed to be doing. And so let's see. Let's move on. You talk about the Mets a minute ago. J.D. Martinez is not even in the major leagues. He's down in the minors. They're saying that he's going to come back maybe next week, but you know who he's facing? That would be the Atlanta Braves. That is a no-win scenario.
Well, so isn't that, Kevin? I mean, we talked about that with Strider's injury. Does that give you any pause to say, well, maybe I give him a try?
No, okay. Just because we weren't really big on J.D. Martinez to begin with.
No, that's true.
He only can be a DH, which does not help your team. If you don't have a DH in your lineup, where are you going to put him?
Right.
And so he's going to have to come up and hit and show that he can still play and still hit before I'm going to put him on my roster, because he ties, especially if you don't have that DH spot, it ties up your roster. I don't like it. And so he's probably not on a lot of teams, but if he's on your team, you're thinking, I'm going to wait this out. That's not a winning strategy to me.
Fair enough. I'm also dropping Georgie Jorge Polanco, Seattle second baseman. He's only owned in 9.9% of leagues, but we had talked about him.
That's why I didn't go there. Yeah, I didn't go there because of that.
He's batting 167, and again, zeros across the board. No runs, no home runs, no stolen bases, no RBIs, nothing. I just brought him on here because we had earlier in the year said, hey, we think he could have a good year. He's not.
Don't have your team. I said that. Okay. I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay? I take full responsibility. Okay. For that. Because I drafted him.
Yeah.
He's not on my team anymore. That didn't last long at all.
You got anybody else?
One guy I want to mention, and it's somebody that we talked about in our rankings, and that's Mitch Garver over there in Seattle.
Yeah.
And he was on the Rangers, as we all know, last year. And he was a better hitter when he was in the lineup as a catcher. He's not a great catcher, though. That's a problem. But he's only DHing up there in Seattle. 188, no homers, one RBIs. He's already had some back spasms. He's only playing DH. And so I don't like the look of this at all. Because he's not, you can talk about his teammate over there, Raleigh, at catcher, is not doing well either, but he's going to be behind the plate. And so as a DH, I don't like that for him at all. So I'm dropping him. And they're catchers. We talked about it. Go find yourself one that has more than a single RBI and doesn't have back spasm.
All right. Now, my last guy. He is owned in 83.5.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
He is a starting pitcher.
Okay.
The Houston Astros.
Oh, I bet I know where you're headed. Go ahead.
Hunter Brown.
Oh, I had him yesterday, and he got me negative 13 points, I think it was.
All right. Now, let me preface this. I dropped him. He's available now in our league. I dropped him.
Okay.
He started out against New York and Texas, the Yankees and the Rangers. He only got four innings in against the Yankees. He only got three innings in against Texas.
Oh, you got blitzed, no question.
So I looked at this and said, okay, do I feel like I should hang on to him? He plays Kansas City next week. Should I hold on to him? And I just sat there and said, he's pitched seven total innings in two games. No matter how good the teams are you're playing, you're the starting pitcher. You need to get at least five innings. And he hasn't even sniffed five innings yet this season. And I just said, you know what? I just don't have time for this. And so I cut bait with Hunter Brown. Somebody will pick him up. Probably, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they won't.
Not me.
I don't have time for guys that can't give me. I want guys that get six innings. I want that quality start. Not everybody does that every game. But Hunter Brown, he's just not even getting close. So I just said, you know what? He's got one total fantasy point on the year. I couldn't do it. I cut bait with Hunter Brown, and I would recommend that you do the same thing.
I will, because I had him in my league. It was advised, well, maybe you don't want to start him against Texas, but I thought, okay, well, maybe he'll do okay. Well, he didn't. All right. And facing the Royals is not what it was a year ago.
Right.
even though we, you know, you talked about Vinny not hitting the ball, but they've got hitters over there, so that is not the Dreamboat, you know, matchup. So that's not a great thing coming into this week. So I'm with you, 80% rostered or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm depressed about Hunter Brown, so he's got to go. And I want to throw in a relief pitcher real quick.
Okay.
And that's on my Texas Rangers. You know, I'm not on relief pitchers, but Jose Leclerc is awful. Okay. 0-1, 20.25. Let me say that one more time. 20.25 ERA, yeah. 3.00 whip. That's got to be one of the highest whips I have ever seen in my life. All right. He's given up runs. He's pitched three times. He's given up runs every single time. He's got to go, and I'm sorry to say, because, you know, Rangers are 35 miles or so from here, but there's no reason why he needs to be on a roster, no matter what you think about relief pitchers.
The Rangers pitchers have either been good or bad. There's not really been a middle line. John Gray has been horrible.
I've already discussed him, so, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Down with him.
And you got guys that are going well, and you got guys that are doing really, really bad. So you got to find the right guy. Dane Dooning, by the way, has been decent for Texas.
Has been decent, as we mentioned. Yep, him and Bradford, as we mentioned. Yep. Look for Lorenzen, what he's going to do. He's been good. Nathan Eovaldi has been excellent. But no. No reason to have Leclerc on your roster at all.
Agreed. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. What you got going on? You've already talked about some of the stuff that you just posted. What you got coming up this week?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what exactly I have coming up. I put out my article, the most controversial one so far, about dropping, you know, players that you should drop, and people acted like I was advocating dropping Mookie Betts or something. Okay, but controversy works because it has, as last checked, 22,000 views on Reddit.
Yeah.
And so, let me emphasize this one more time. I'm talking about in smaller leagues with the robust waiver wire. If you don't have that, then you're not dropping players. Okay.
Yeah, I think so you're 12 people or less.
12 people or less, 10 for sure, 12. Maybe a little cautious, but I still think you can drop players in a 12-team league. After that, then, you know, probably not.
Yeah.
But that's out there right now. And as I mentioned, my streamer article is out there. You might want to check that out and see how accurate I might have been, because people are like, well, what are your stats? Hey, it's the matchups.
Right.
And so I might go into an area, because all these injuries, I might do player injury updates this week. Maybe that's where I'm going to go this week and see where things head. There are some significant players who are either injured or coming back. So that's probably where I'm going to go next.
All right. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin62WILSEA. You can also get all of his articles on bellyupfantasysports.com. You can follow me at Sports Stove on Instagram and Twitter. We've got a show. I do not think we're going to have a Monday show this week. A couple things going on, so we probably won't have a Monday show. But Wednesday, actually, it might even. I just got a text while we were doing this show right now. It might get pushed back to Thursday. So follow us on Twitter. You'll know when the next show is. It'll probably be Thursday night. More than likely, we'll recap the NCAA championship. We'll look into the NFL draft some and talk Major League Baseball and NASCAR as well on that show. Check out our sponsors, bellyupfantasysports.com, SeatGeek.com with the promo code bellyupsports, and righteousfelon.com with the promo code stove15. Thanks for tuning in and watching.
We always appreciate people who tune in, people who engage us, and we're here to help.
Yep.
And that's where I have always come from. I'm here to help. So if I can help, let me know.
Next week, we'll look at our league and start making fun of some of the people in our league. We're giving them a couple weeks to get going, but next week we'll start mocking Mike Brown or others in the league. But nonetheless, you'll tune back in next Sunday for that as well. Okay. Tune in. Enjoy the eclipse on That's Monday. Right.
Remember, be and, safe.
Yeah, don't stare too long. Get your don't glasses. Stare.
Yeah, don't be watching the eclipse while you're going down the highway, please.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Have a great week.